We're at the latter part of chapter 4, just breaking these scriptures down. Sorry, I don't have a keynote. We are going to have the verses on the screen tonight. I didn't have time today to put a keynote together. But I don't know if we're going to get through all this tonight. My goal is to be brief on it. How many of you have been enjoying Hebrews? Been into Hebrews? Hebrews is a beautiful, beautiful Bible or book in the Bible. Full of revelation, deep and shallow. I'm looking forward to getting to the point on faith toward the end of the book. It's one of the best areas on faith that you can come across in Scripture. But for tonight, we're chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Eric, if you could bring that up so I can read it all together, because the paper has it split up. Everybody ready? Everybody good? Hit it? All right. One person is. We'll go for the one. For the word of God is living and powerful. The paper you're looking at is the NIV, so it's a little bit different. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So let's just get to the nitty-gritty. So I have verses by sections on your paper, and then I have points underneath those verses and underneath those sections of Scripture. So the first one I have, like a living organism and in motion. So we're pulling that from the very top of that section there in verse 12. The NIV, which is on your paper, says, for the word of God is alive and active. When you consider it this way, it makes us look at the word of God as it is a living being, a living organism. And I like looking at the word of God that way. I don't like looking at the Word of God as if it's just a bunch of words written down through various individuals by the means of the Holy Spirit. But when I look at the Word of God, it changes its power for me. It changes even my faith in it. When I know that what I'm reading and what I'm looking at is alive. And we know it's alive just by simply referring to John 1, and it said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And then it begins to say how that Word began to take up on form, human form, began to take up on flesh, but flesh didn't comprehend it. So when you begin to look at John 1, the Gospel of John 1, and then just kind of compare it to the beginning of verse 12 here, we know that nothing can take human form and live without it having life, right? I mean, as human beings, as animal creatures, in order for it to be a living being, it has to have life. And it says that the Word took on flesh, or became flesh, is actually what it says. In other words, became a living being. And that was really referring to Jesus Christ. So John 1 really is in sync with Hebrews 4:12, that the Word of God, that it's alive. But it's not only alive, it's also active. It's working. The Bible says that the Word does not come back void. In other words, when the Word is spoken, when the Word is taught, when the Word is read, when the Word is believed in, when the Word is stood upon, it doesn't return empty. It doesn't return lifeless. It doesn't return complacent. But it returns with life, with activity, with action, with power, with effectiveness, with change. I don't know about you, but when I'm looking at creation and I'm looking at the difference between a dead object and a living organism, it changes my take upon whatever I'm looking at. Is it the same way with you? It's like if I look at a tree, let's say a vibrant, beautiful, live oak tree. You know, I know that's a living organism. As opposed to, let's say, a cut-down tree that's been sitting there for a few years that has already been dried out and is in the process of rotting away. My take on the two is totally different. I'm in awe of this giant, beautiful, big, living oak tree that is alive. And it's active because it's consistently growing and producing. My take is totally different. My expectation, my need of it. Is totally different than when I just look at that tree that's been chopped down, that is sitting there rotting away as if it's doing nothing. And so I would like for us to be challenged in our mindset tonight that when we consider the Word of God, when we read, when we believe in, when we go to the Word of God, let's not go to it as if it's just another good book written by some great people. But let's look at it as if it is a living organism that has the potential, the capability, and the power to actually change, to just change life or meet the needs that we have in our life. Amen? Number two says, that verse 12 says, sharper than any double-edged sword. So just looking at the first part of that, sharper than, in essence, it was meaning that it's more capable than the greatest weapon. One of the greatest weapons of that time was a double-edged sword. A soldier or a warrior at that time could do a lot of damage with a double-edged sword. You take one man with a double-edged sword, they could go and, let's say, fight a gang of people. And they can just swing back and forth. And each hit is going to inflict damage. Each hit. As opposed to a spear. Now, we know that the spear has a lot of power. They could throw the spear. But if they was to go into, let's say, a group of people or a group of enemy, and they was to swing that spear, it wouldn't have the same effect as that double-edged sword. So back in that day, the double-edged sword was one of the greatest and most effective weapons. And the Bible, in essence, is saying that the Word of God is more capable and more effective than the greatest weapon on earth. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Now, nowadays, we have magnificent weapons. Sad to say, we even have weapons of mass destruction. But just look at guns today. I know most people here is pro-gun, so it's okay to talk about guns here. Just looking at guns today, you're just magnificent weapons that could reach out 2 miles and be accurate, or you can pull off 10 rounds in less than a second. Just guns with amazing accuracy. But yet the Word of God is greater than any weapon, any form of protection. The power and the Word of God is greater and more powerful than that. But let me just throw this question out there that's not in the notes. Do you or do I, when I look at the Word of God, do I really look at it and think and believe with all my heart, with all my soul and all my mind, that the Word is more powerful than a 45, a 308, 556, an AK-47, a stealth bomber, a missile that has the ability to destroy thousands of lives. When we really look at the Word in our hearts and in our minds, do we really believe that man, this is more powerful than any weapon the world has ever seen or ever will see. If we really, with all of our heart, took the word as it really is, and I'm speaking to all of us, if we really grasped onto, believed in the word, if we really trusted in the word, like maybe we trust in weapons or protection, and I'm a believer in weapons and protection, don't get me wrong, but my point is this: if we really looked at the word as this super powerful living thing, I think our lives would be 100% different. Amen? So it's sharper than any double-edged sword. The double-edged part means that the Bible is completely effective. Just like we said a minute ago, when you swing a double-edged sword, you're going to inflict damage no matter how you swing. Upswing, you're going to inflict damage. Downswing, you're going to inflict damage. You swing to the left, you're going to inflict damage. You swing to the right. So it can inflict damage no matter how. And the writer was trying to bring across the point to these Jewish believers that the word of God is so powerful that no matter how you use it, there is going to be effectiveness. Whether it's coming out of you or whether it's coming into you, the word of God is going to be effective. It's going to create change. It's going to help meet your needs. It can be your source of power, your source of strength. Because remember, if you allow me just to backtrack, Hebrews was written to Jewish believers that was on the fence about their faith. They were struggling. They was thinking about going back to their Jewish beliefs. They was thinking about leaving the church. They was thinking about abandoning their faith in Jesus Christ. They were struggling. They was being persecuted. They was feeling they were being left out from the, quote, popular church. And the writer of this book was trying to get them to realize and for them to know that, look, what you have, the word of God, is more powerful than anything. You don't have to feel important. You don't have to be the strongest. You don't have to be the most encouraged. Everything just doesn't have to go right and well for you. As long as you hold on to the word of God, you have something that is more powerful and more stronger than the greatest weapon of your time. It's living. It's active. It is powerful. You don't need to fit in with the popular church. You don't need to worry about persecution. You don't need to even consider going back to your faith, because what you have in your hands, in your heart, in your mind is more powerful than anything you've ever experienced. And in essence, he was saying to them, you have the power to stand still. You have the power to keep the course. You have the power to overcome. You have the power, all the power, any power you would ever need. And I would just echo the words of the author of Hebrews to every single one of us. We've got the power. When we're facing hell and high water, when people are against us, when we're dealing with depression or struggling with addiction, or maybe we're on the mountaintop and we are living out the dream and being blessed beyond measure. No matter what we are, if we hold true and hold still and hold on to the word of God, we have this living force, this living power that is absolutely effective and greater than any weapon that we could physically lay our hands on. Amen? Hallelujah, the word of God. I dare you to stand on truth when you're going through hell and high water. I dare you to stand on truth when you think you're about to lose it all. I dare you to stand on truth when you're feeling broken and inadequate and incapable and you don't think you can do what God has called you to do. I dare you to stand on truth. The Bible says the word will not come back void. If you stand up on truth and you hold on to that truth like you was going to hold on to a gun in a gunfight, if you believe in that truth like you believe in that gun for protection if an invader comes in your house, if you hold on to that word as if your life depended on it, it will not fail us, amen? It will not abandon us. Hallelujah. Woo, the word of God is so powerful. But do we really believe it? I mean, we might believe it in our mind. We might believe it vocally. We might believe it with our verbiage. But do we believe it with every ounce in our heart? Do we believe it in here? Like, you know, the kind of belief that says, I can lose everything, but as long as I don't lose my word or his word, I'm going to be okay. You know what I'm saying? And that takes a different level of faith, doesn't it? That takes a different level of trust to say, you can take everything. I can lose everything. I can go through anything. And as long as I got the word, as long as the word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet, as long as the word is in my mind and coming out of my mouth, as long as the word is a part of my faith and it's what I pray and it's what I believe in, as long as I got the word, I'm going to be okay. Amen. I don't know if you're feeling it, but I'm feeling it. The word of God, hallelujah. And I know this is Wednesday night. We're supposed to be chill and just like, God bless you, Hebrews is this and Hebrews is that. But we're not talking about the word of God. See, man, I can relate. I've been through it. I've been through it, and I know some of you have been through it. And the only thing that has pulled me out and the only thing that has pulled you out is the word of God. Amen. And so when I start talking about the word of God, I know it's the power I need. I know it's not going to let me down. I know it's not going to fail me. So I get a little bit excited, and I get that chicken skin rolling, and I start thinking, praise God, I got something that ain't going to fail me. It ain't going to let go of me. I'm not going to lose it all. And if I do lose it all, I know I still got the word of God in me. Amen. Hallelujah. Good Lord. Man, I just keep getting in my mind, you might be depressed, but if you stand on that word, you're going to come out of that depression. Amen. You might be broke, but you stand on that word, God can rearrange you from being broke to being prosperous. Amen. You might be single and need a man or need a woman. Stand on that word and look for a godly man or woman, and that word will bring you a man or woman. Amen. You might be praying for kids or know someone who's praying for kids. Tell them to stand on the word, and that womb will conceive a child. Amen. Man, that word can do anything. You might be looking at an addiction. You might be looking at a drug problem. You might be looking at a porn problem or a lust problem or a divorce problem. Take the word of God. Apply it to your problem. Think about it when you go to bed at night. Talk about it when you wake up in the morning. Dream about it when you ain't working. Just don't let the word of God leave your mouth and leave your mind and leave your actions. And I guarantee you, your circumstance would change. Hallelujah. Man, that's something to get excited about. The word of God, the word of God, the word of God. It's living, it's active, it's alive. Hallelujah. I'm weak. I go ahead and tell you, I'm weak and I ain't all that and I'm a human being. But I know this, the word of God can take my weakness and make me strong. The word of God can take all this that ain't nothing and make it something, because everything's possible through God Almighty. It don't matter if we got the word of God. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, some of you need to get a hold of the word. I wish I had one of those old leather Bibles right now. I'll be smacking that thing. I don't want to break my phone or tear my paper, but I'm saying, man, the word of God, I just feel it in here tonight. Some of you ain't been going to the word enough. Some of you ain't been believing the word enough.
Some of you ain't been standing on the word enough. Some of you ain't been quoting and preaching and praying and thinking and singing the word enough. You've been wondering, why am I down? Why am I depressed? Why am I broke? Why am I facing this? Why am I facing that? Why I ain't got favor? Why ain't doors opening? Why is doors closing? Oh me, oh my, oh God, do you love me? Ain't nothing to do with God's love. It has everything to do us not using the key, the weapon, the alive organism that he has placed within us, that he has put upon our hands. And that living organism is the word of God. Woo! The word of God. It can change everything. Woo, I wasn't expecting this tonight. I have to tell you that. Hallelujah. The word changes everything. And it ain't the messenger. Amen. It ain't the preacher. It ain't the person. It ain't up here who's preaching it or up here who's singing it. No. It's just the word. It doesn't come back void. God told Joshua, you meditate on my word day and night and you do not let it leave your mouth. He says, I'll bless you. I'll prosper you. I'll make you a success. Now, so oftentimes we immediately start thinking about money, but it goes way deeper than money. For Joshua, Joshua had a giant task in front of him. He had to lead his people to conquer the promised land. And God was basically saying, boy, there's only one way you're going to conquer this promised land. It ain't through your might. It ain't through your power, but it's only through my word. You don't let the word leave your mind. You don't let the word leave your mouth. You don't deviate at all from the word of God. And if you get that straight, you will be prosperous. You will succeed. You will have everything that I ever promised that you would have. And it's the same with us today. We're always looking for ways to get something, ways to rise above, ways to make us feel better. But the truth of the matter is this: if we take the word that was given to Joshua and put our name instead of Joshua's name, as if God was saying, Jonathan, meditate on my word day and night. Don't let it depart your mouth. And you do everything it says to do, then you will be blessed and you will be successful. We got to get to the point where we say, Brad, you got to meditate on that word. You cannot let it depart from your mind, depart from your mouth. You got to think about it. You got to speak it. You got to make sure it's in you and you will be successful and prosperous. Amen. We got to get to the point saying, Joshua, we got to say, Connie, you can't let the word leave your mind. You can't let the word leave your heart. You can't deviate from it. But you got to let the word be every ounce of every fiber in your system. Then you will be successful. Then you will be prosperous. Amen. I mean, we got to replace ourselves with Joshua. God's not a respecter of people. You know what I mean? So when you turn to the Bible and open up like Joshua 1 or other areas of scripture, put your own name in there. Put your own place in there. And you take that word for yourself. And you realize there is a way to rise above. There is a way to push through. It don't mean you won't fear a little bit. It don't mean you won't worry a bit. It don't mean you're not going to lose some blood, some sweat, and some tears. Come on, that's life, right? No pain, no gain. I mean, it's just life. But what it does mean is we'll get through it. We'll rise above it. We'll get beyond it. We'll overcome it. We won't be bound by it. We won't be destroyed by it. We won't be weak by it. We won't be depressed by it. We won't be wanting to kill ourselves because of it. We won't be wanting to quit and give up on our kids, or quit and give up on our spouse, or quit and give up on our career, or say no to our dreams. We might suffer a little bit, but we're not going to be bound or broken or destroyed or overcome as long as we take that word and we just drive it in our soul and it becomes our life source. Amen. So when you leave here tonight, what's the one thing you're going to be thinking about? The Word. Hallelujah. The Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you had your way tonight. There is a reason why there was such an emphasis on the topic of your Word tonight. We needed to be reminded of that power. We needed to be reminded of that authority. We needed to be reminded that even though we're going through battles and we're going through struggles and we're going through just hell and high water, that if we don't let go of the Word, if we don't forget about the Word, if we do not allow the Word to leave our heart and leave our mind, that everything's going to be okay, that we're going to push through, we're going to overcome, we're going to rise above. Thank you for reminding us tonight, God, of the importance of the need of your Word in our life. Help us to put our place or our name and our face in the place of Joshua. When your scripture says for us to meditate on that Word, for us to think about that Word, for us to act upon that Word, for us to speak on it, for it not to leave us, and we will be successful. Help us to put ourselves in that place so that we can be what you've called us to be, reach who you've called us to reach, and achieve what you've called us to achieve. I bind up Satan in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, because Satan, he comes in and he tries to stop the Word. He tries to distract us from thinking about the Word. He tries to create scenarios where we don't have time to hear, read, or listen to the Word. But Lord, I just bind up Satan in the name of Jesus Christ. And God, I ask that you implant within our mind a consistent reminder that says, I got to get that Word in me. I got to hear that Word. I got to listen to that Word. I got to read that Word. I got to act upon that Word. Father, just let it be a sealed deal in us so that we can overcome anything that comes our way and you can be given the glory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, everyone said, amen. Give God an awesome hand of praise. Hallelujah. Can you just lift your hands and love the Lord for a moment? Can you just lift your hands? Lord, we love you. 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 We bless you with all of our hearts, all of our minds, and all of our souls. You're so good. You are gracious. You're mighty. You're powerful. Oh, we just love you. We love your Word. We love your Word. We love your ways. We love your presence and your glory. We honor you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome, awesome week. See you Sunday. See you Sunday. Be careful this weekend, graduation weekend, a lot happening. Be careful out there.